I will let you down. I will make you hurt. Though a recurring theme in Cash's life, pain never made him bitter. He lived in constant physical pain for the last 10 years of his life, says John Carter. He struggled with it for a long time, and it got to the point where you never heard him complain. There was a great sadness inside him, but at the same time a great strength. He would never draw attention to himself. He owned those pains. He took them all on as his own, and he didn't blame anybody for it. The song that Cash thought best summarized his faith was Personal Jesus, written by Martin Gore and recorded by Depeche Mode. He once wished that he had composed it. It's easy to see why. The language is direct. Reach out and touch faith, your own personal Jesus, someone to hear your prayers. And the message seems unambiguous. Jesus is ready to forgive anyone who calls on him and to establish a personal relationship with him. However, it was written as a satire, mocking the tendency of people to turn lovers into savior figures. Gore wrote it after reading Priscilla Presley's book Elvis and Me. It's a song about being a Jesus for somebody else, he said. It's about how Elvis was her man and her mentor, and how often that happens in love relationships. Departures and farewells permeated the new Cash album. The men in Give My Love to Rose, I Hung My Head, and The Streets of Laredo try to make amends before they die. Danny Boy is a plea to a soldier leaving for war. The Beatles song In My Life is a lament for a disappearing world. We'll Meet Again, a song made popular in World War II by Vera Lynn in Britain and the Ink Spots in America, captured the mood of people thrown together by circumstance who never knew whether they'd ever reunite. Cash defined the theme as the human spirit fighting for survival. The album's packaging, coupled with Mark Romanek's video for Hurt, intensifies the somber mood of the tracks. The front cover, dominated by a black background, features a bespectacled Cash in profile. His head is slightly tilted, and his eyes appear to be closed. All but the front of his face is in shadow, giving the impression that he's slowly slipping from view. Photographs inside the CD booklet cast Cash almost as an apparition, his hair white and his fingers gnarled. In a close-up of his left hand, his black onyx ring displays a crucifix. On that record, he was really showing his age, says Martin Atkins, who did the cover photography. There was a lot of frailty to the music, and the pictures tell the same story. The video for Hurt must rank as one of the most tear-inducing ever made. Cash was filmed at home performing the song with June standing nearby, watching him, and then footage of his younger, more vigorous self was edited in, giving the undeniable impression that he was singing about his own demise. The contrast between the powerfully built, dark-haired singer of the 1960s and this frail, balding man sitting on a sofa was painful to watch. Images from the House of Cash Museum, now obviously in a state of disrepair, were also used to underline the impression of a life drawing to a close. Romanek had not planned to shoot the video this way. He originally wanted to film something inspired by images from a Samuel Beckett play on a set in Los Angeles, but Cash got sick and couldn't travel. With 4 days left before the Cashes disappeared to Cinnamon Hill, Romanek had no choice but to shoot the video at home. When he arrived in Hendersonville on October 18, 2002, he picked out 3 or 4 areas in the house to film and then saw the museum, which had not only been closed for a long time but had been damaged in a flood. Says Romanek, I think I shot the museum the way it was and didn't try to gloss over the state of John's health and his advanced years because I was bolstered by the bold truthfulness and unusual candor that defined most of John's songs and public life. The use of archival footage wasn't part of the plan. We discovered this trove of material in a storage house while we were there and asked if we could take some back to L.A. Frankly, I didn't think it would be of much use, but when my editor Robert Duffy and I put a little piece in the first cut, the hairs on our necks stood up. We knew then that this footage would make up a huge part of the video. It then took us 3 weeks to comb through all the footage we'd brought back. The result was an intensely moving study of someone facing the indignities of illness and aging, but doing so without shame. It fit perfectly into Cash's oeuvre as a man known for his honesty and directness. He had for many years sung about the fleeting nature of life and the ravages of death, and now he courageously shared his own walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He had started his career in a business that exalted youth, and now he exemplified the dignity in growing old. Romanek sent a copy of the finished video to Cash in Jamaica. Rick Rubin told me that the family watched it together as a group, he says. Tears were shed. I think John was initially unsure about it, but the family convinced him that it was a strong, unusual, well-intentioned piece. Roseanne didn't see it for a while because her sisters thought it might upset her. She finally saw it when Cash played it for her in his office. I was devastated, she says. I was crying like a baby. He was sitting next to me, patting me on the shoulder. I told him that it was the most powerful video I'd ever seen. I said it wasn't even a video. It was a documentary. The Man Comes Around hit stores on November 4, 2002. On November 26th, Cash appeared in an hour-long interview with Larry King on CNN, which had been recorded 6 weeks earlier on October 11th. Larry asked whether Cash was angry about his physical setbacks. He said he wasn't. Things had been good and things would get better. Did he have regrets? He said he didn't. Was he bitter? No, he wasn't. Why should I be bitter? I'm thrilled to death with life. Life, the way God has given it to me, was just a platter. A golden platter of life laid out there for me. It's been beautiful. Was he angry at God? Oh no, said Cash. I'm the last one that would be angry at God. Cash in June retired to Cinnamon Hill while The Man Comes Around started to make waves. The video received instant accolades. Rolling Stone called it one of the most intense and affecting videos in memory. The album went on to sell over 1 million copies and became his first platinum studio album. He started feeling bad again in Jamaica, so the Cashes returned early to Hendersonville. Cash was admitted to the hospital in January, suffering from pneumonia. It was a really hard time for him, says his niece, Kelly Hancock. He came out in January and was then back again in February after gashing his knee, and then back again in March after falling out of bed and losing consciousness. I believe he was released either on the last day of March or the first day of April, but this was the first time that he was unable to walk. He had to have a wheelchair and a walker, and he found this really difficult. 2 days later, his sister Louise died of cancer, and he was so fragile that he couldn't go to the funeral. The doctor forbade him from leaving the house. The house Cash had moved back to was the house his mother had lived in before she had died. Being on one level, it was more convenient for him now that his legs were weak, and the need to build an elevator in the house on Old Hickory Lake meant there was building work going on at home. June, as ever, was busying herself with making sure that he was as comfortable as possible, sticking resolutely to her belief that his needs were her number one priority. Karen Adams and Kelly Hancock would go over regularly with mail delivered to the house of Cash and talk over business decisions that needed to be made. I noticed that June was taking all this special time with him and how important it was to her, says Kelly. I remember thinking later that it was so sweet, and it was amazing to me that they had been married for so many years and yet they were still like that with each other. That's how they were. She wanted to be his caregiver. I don't think that he really wanted that for her, but a lot of times she would take over that role and see that things were done by her. Looking back, we realized that she was sick herself. It was during the third week of April, after her brief stay in the hospital, that those who visited the house regularly noticed that June seemed different. Her energy seemed depleted, and her breathing seemed more labored, but she was so involved in looking after her husband that she didn't have time to mull over her ailments. On April 18th, Good Friday, she told Kelly that she didn't have long to live. She told another friend that, "Something's going on in here," pointing to her chest.